You guys did real good. I'm not sure if that's the right English or not, but it was real good. We have been working, talking on the Beatitudes, and today we actually come to the end of it. It seems like it's taken us a while to get through it, but that's okay. We weren't in a hurry. And today I'm going to be talking from Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, if you have your Bibles. A real simple little verse that was in there that Jesus shared. He's bringing everything together. He's given them all of their marching instructions. He said, this is the way we should live. These are the things we should look at. These are the things that are important to God. And now he kind of brings everything together. And in verse 12, he says this, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I like that word, rejoice. We don't do enough of that. We go through our days and face challenges and temptations. We face things we don't like. And so instead of rejoicing and trying to have an upbeat spirit, we go, ugh. And that's where we live. And you know what? I honestly believe there are people who like to live there. There are people who look for the sympathy, who look for whatever it is they can get, not because they're rejoicing and enjoying life, but because they want everybody to feel sorry for them. Oh, my life just stinks. It's terrible. You know, Eeyore. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were giving some responses. I think that their child or somebody was giving to some instructions they were talking about, and it all came across like Eeyore. Oh, well, I guess I'll just go home now. You know, it was terrible. We make a joyful noise. We lift our hearts, our minds, and we look at those things that are greater than us. And God is the one that is greater than us and always greater than us. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Several years ago, I went with a group of seminary students on a study program to Israel. Great time. I loved it. Leading into it, I was looking forward to it. I was all hyped up and going to be over there, and it was one of the seminary classes, and so I was going to be doing study while I was there, and all this was going on. And I did have a wonderful trip, but there was one thing about it. I missed, and this happened almost the time I got on the plane to fly to Israel. I missed being home. Well, finally, after spending my time there, the day of departure came. I'll tell you what, they fed us over there, and I had eaten all of the dates. You know, you get dates every meal. Peas. I came home and I told Donna, I said, don't you ever put a pea on the table. I lost. She loves peas. So I have to look at those detestable things. But that's all we had. I'd eaten so many peas and so many carrots and raw fish. I was ready to be done with it. Man, I wanted a Big Mac. But I wanted to come home. I was tired of sleeping in hotels. I was tired of riding on buses. I just wanted to go home. You know, I had walked in the wilderness where Jesus walked, been to the Mount of Temptation and come out of the wilderness and walked into Jericho, which is a bustling community, but I was ready to go home. You know, there is no door like the one to your own house. There's no better place to put your feet than under your own table. There's no better coffee than that coffee that's in your mug. There's no embrace like the embrace of a family member. We returned to the States and flew into Findlay, Ohio. That's where the seminary is located. And I was really missing all of the stuff from home. I had another day to wait and had to stay in Findlay another night because I had to wait to catch a flight back to New Mexico. And so when we arrived, I watched as other families were reunited and people came together and there was the family reunions going on and everybody rejoicing and happy. And I thought, man, it's going to be nice to go home. I just wanted to be there. The longest part of the trip, was the last part. That was the plane taxiing down the runway to the terminal in Albuquerque, New Mexico. On the flight to New Mexico, in my mind, I'd imagine Donna getting Dustin and Dana ready to drive to Albuquerque and how long that drive was, 3.5 hours. It's a long way. And thinking of the things that would be going on. Well, we finally got to the terminal. And most of the time when I fly, I'm kind of slow about getting off the plane because everybody else seems to be in a rush. But not today. Because I was going home. This was my day. I was going home. And so when the plane is coming into the terminal, I'm standing up and I'm getting stuff ready to get off the plane. And, you know, this is before it come to a complete stop. You remember that warning they give you on a plane? The stewardess enforced it. And she came, she said, "Sir, you're going to have to sit down." I felt like saying, "You don't understand, I'm going home." I sat down. I stayed there until it was my time to leave. My family was waiting. I was ready to see them. And as I entered the airport, I heard a scream. And then the next thing I know, these little arms latched onto me just as tight as they could. First Dana, who had no inhibitions at all. There's Dad, and she's coming, and she's grabbing and hold me and everything else. And then Dustin follows suit. What a great feeling. They kind of assaulted me with this barrage of questions mixed with lots of hugs and kisses, and I was almost home. I was loving it. And I looked, and just a little ways back was Donna. A more beautiful sight I'd never seen. She was letting the kids come to Dad, and we had a good time. And I walked over to her, and I grabbed her, and I just didn't want to let go. I was home. And even though she had been through a very difficult time while I was gone, while I was studying in Israel, and she had a lot that she needed to tell me about what was happening at the mission, even though she listened to what I had to say about Israel, I was home. Well, it's trips like this that make the promise at the end of the Beatitudes so compelling. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. And here is why. Because great is your reward in heaven. What is your reward? It's home. Rejoice and be glad because guess what? You've got a home to go to. It's a wonderful home. Lots of hugs and kisses and embracing taking place. Rejoice and be glad. The book of Revelation, the very back of the Bible, is actually a book of homecoming. And it gives a picture of your heavenly home, and John describes the future. And when you study this and really look at it, it can take your breath away. And there's mysteries in the book of Revelation that I don't understand them all. But the thing I do understand is it's home. It's home. You know, first, when we look at the book of Revelation, we see a final battle, and it's a graphic story, a graphic battle that takes place. God clashes with evil, and in the middle of the battlefield, there is hope. In the middle of the battle, he begins to show us something that's described in Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now,'" I love it, "'now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Don't you love that? "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." A new home. A new home prepared for God's people. A new home prepared for those who know that we've got this eternal home, that we're not stuck in the ground and just stay there. There's something special that God has prepared with his own hands. John is old, if you read about it. His body is weary. Breaking down. The journey has taken its toll on him. His friends are gone. Peter is dead. Paul has been martyred. Andrew, James, Nathaniel, they're just fuzzy figures from an earlier era. As John hears the voice from heaven, I wonder if he remembered the day when he heard the voice of Jesus up on that mountain. The same ears that heard Jesus first describe sacred delight listens to it revealed to him again. And in this final mountaintop encounter, God pulls back the curtain and allows the warrior to peek into the homeland. You see, this is our inheritance. A holy city. A bride beautifully dressed for her husband. You know, the Bible uses a lot of, now my mind went blank, but comparisons. And this is what the city is described as. Now, in my career, I have done, I don't know how many weddings. Lots and lots of them. And in all the weddings I have ever done, I have never seen an ugly bride. I've never seen an ugly bride. Now, I've seen some grooms that could have used a few alterations, but not the bride. The bride is always beautiful, and as she comes in and as she walks in, everybody stands. And they look and the focus is on the bride. You know, maybe it's the aura that's around her, or the diamonds that are glistening in her eyes, or the blush of love that is on her cheeks, or even a bouquet of promises that she carries. There's the feeling you're seeing the purest beauty the world can boast. And when we read that our heavenly home is similar to a bride adorned in beauty, doesn't it make you want to go home? When you think about a city where we talk about streets that are gold, or we talk about gates that have precious gemstones in them, all the stuff that we put value in, and it's really nothing in heaven because the value doesn't need to be there, but you can see the color. You can see the brilliance. You can begin to see this home that God is preparing for us and how wonderful it is. You know, the world I woke up to today couldn't be described as a bride beautiful and dressed for her husband. Did yours? I saw ugly images of bombings in Israel. I saw corrupt politicians being questioned. I saw where a mother stabbed her 8-year-old son. I saw senseless acts of violence where there appeared to be no motive and no answers. I saw people fighting over water to drink. I saw there'd been another innocent bystander who was senselessly shot. And I saw the ugliness of a bacteria, Ebola, or a virus that's taking countless lives. When you look at this world, and it's stained with innocent blood, and it's smudged with selfishness, folks, doesn't it make you want to go home? Me too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not out to rush the process. But I know there's something great waiting. And I know that in that day when God reveals it to me and the gate is open, I'm going to be in total awe. And John says that someday God himself will wipe away every tear. Think about that. Think about the hands that stretched the heavens and formed the mountains. The same hands that called or curled in agony as a Roman spike was hammered through them. And Jesus stretching them out and the spikes and the pain and the fingers curled. And just think, one day those hands will cup your face. And with the other, he wipes away the tears. And they're gone. No more sorrow. No more tears. When you think of a world where there will never be a reason to cry, doesn't it make you want to go home? Here's another heavenly promise. In heaven, there is no death. You think about it. No hearses, no morgues, no cemeteries, no spade of dirt to throw on the casket. Now, they don't do that much around here, but in New Mexico with the Indian funerals, the very first dirt that went on the casket, you would take and the pastor would do it, and you'd dig a shovel of dirt and you'd hold it, and one by one people would wipe by and they'd take a handful of dirt and they'd throw it in on top of the casket, and it was part of the closure. That's not in heaven, though. There's no names chiseled on marble, no funerals. One of the joys of being a pastor is seeing the bride descending down the aisle and how beautiful she always is. But one of the griefs as a pastor is a body encased in a shiny box. And folks, it's never easy to say goodbye, to walk away. The hardest task in the world is to place a final kiss on the cold lips that cannot return the kiss. Folks, doesn't it make you want to go home? God is making all things new. I grew up in what even then was an older community in Moline. And it's still pretty much the way it was then. It's still pretty much that way today. And one of our favorite things, and I was so glad to see that it's still there, is called Old Town Bakery. And I always remember walking to school, and if I had a dime, yeah, just a dime, it wasn't bad. If I had a dime, I could swing by the bakery and get a donut. And the donuts from Old Town Bakery, they weren't quite as good as Tammy's, but they were really good. And I always stopped or tried to stop and get one before going to school. This was my community. And I lived there and growing up there, and I ruled the roost. It's just the way it was. We had our little group, and we did our thing, and pretty much had a great time doing it, and really didn't put up with too much nonsense from other people. We ruled it, or we thought we did. That was my town. The school building where I went to school as a boy, the grade school, has been torn down. The buildings in the community are still being used, but they're pretty outdated. But the thing is, God's kingdom will be new and it will be fresh. And it'll be something that is very special for us. What do you think God needs to have in his kingdom for you to be happy? Now, I can't sit here and say what is and what isn't, but if that's what it takes for you to be happy, it'll be there. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." He should know. It was his idea. It was his home, and he wants to share it with us. Flying in from Israel, I had a good feeling, for I knew I'd be home soon. I knew before long I would see the faces of my loved ones, and I looked so forward to it. You know what, folks? You'll be home soon. You'll be home soon. Maybe you didn't notice, but you're closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken or a mountain climbed. And before you know it, your time will come. And you'll descend the ramp and enter the city. And when you enter the city, you will see beautiful, familiar faces, people that you know, loved ones that have gone on before, who are there and they're waiting and they're rejoicing, and they know things that we don't know. You'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. As they call out, say, "Come on! Come on, it's just the beginning. We're getting started now. Life is just going to go forever, for eternity, and there is no sorrow, sadness, pain, suffering. Come on in. Oh, don't worry about it. You won't get the flu or anything else, because God has finally settled everything. Satan has been defeated, and this is your home." And you come in, you'll be greeted with all these people, but then you'll look, and there's Jesus. And suddenly, folks, all of these people, all of these loved ones, really just kind of fade into the distance, because you want to see Jesus. You want to see the one who paid the price so that you can have that eternal life. Folks, what a great promise. Heaven is open to all who receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, as we started this journey, as we started this study several weeks ago, Jesus took us to a mountainside. And as I shared, there above the Sea of Galilee, they walked up the side of the mountain. and sitting down on the nice grass hill, looking out over the Sea of Galilee, he began to teach. And he wanted his disciples to understand some things. He wanted them to know what it was like to live the life that he wants us to live. And he wanted us to know one very important thing, that if we live this life, we're blessed. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then he says, bringing everything together, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What a way to wrap it up. Rejoice and be glad. Folks, rejoicing starts here. Rejoicing starts now. We can lift our heads and smile. We know there's a reward. We know what's coming, but we're living this life. And I encourage you to lift it rejoicing. We read in the Bible, and it talks a lot about rejoicing. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. How many of you do that? Maybe what happens is you wake up in the morning like, oh man, I didn't get enough sleep last night. I got to go to work this morning, and my boss is a real pain. Or I've got so much work, I can't get it done. Rejoice. This is a day the Lord has made. You know what? Your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing, and life is good. We just have to learn that. We go on over into Philippians, and the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I get mixed up sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And there was a song, and we sung the song and this kind of thing, but it's straight scripture. Rejoice, rejoice. Well, how can you do that? Don't you know, Pastor? I've got problems. I've got struggles. I've got trials. I've got things going on that are hard to understand and hard to comprehend. And you're sitting here on Sunday morning telling me to rejoice. Yes, I am. Because guess what? I have the same trials and struggles and battles that you do. But God gives me strength. He gives me encouragement. I can rejoice because God is always there. He doesn't turn his back on me. How do I know this? We talked about it, I think it was in our AIM class the other night. How do I know this? Because I feel it here. I feel it here. And because I feel it here and I know and I've been touched so many times by the hand of God, I know the truth. And the truth that he gives us in his word. Rejoice! Folks, put a smile on your face right now. Some of you, I did that so you'd open your eyes. I'm not going to say who. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Barry. Rejoice! Start today. You know, we talk about troubles and problems, and we worry about them. And the Bible says, don't worry about your troubles. Don't worry about them. They'll have enough problems of their own tomorrow. So don't worry about today, what might happen. Live this life that God's given you and rejoice. I'll tell you what, folks, nothing is as bad as we make it in our mind. It's just not that way. Rejoice. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wisdom that is found in your word, for the guidance, for the direction you give. Father, we're just thankful that you do have plans for us that lead into eternity. Those plans, Father, that give us hope, that allow us to rejoice and to be glad in the life you've given us here, knowing that there is life coming that is an eternal life and a reunion with others that have gone on before. Father, we're so thankful for your promises. Lord, I just ask that you would be with each one in this congregation, that you would touch their hearts, that you would encourage them and help them to walk in a knowledge of who you are and in a knowledge of an eternal home that we have to go to. And that they would, in this world, rejoice, be glad, be happy. Father, all we have to do is look at you and we can see what's coming. Fill each heart this morning, Father, with your love, with your comfort. And Father, I pray, let the rejoicing begin this morning. We lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.